Well, praise the Lord, it's been truly an amazing Sunday night service. Would you imagine this is in the middle of a pandemic, supposedly, as our brother mentioned earlier, when many churches are not meeting, and how would you feel if you stay at home tonight and not be in church to hear my dear brother's report? Are you an evangelist, would you say so? My goodness, and now I want to be an evangelist, you know? You know, and my goodness, seeing what God is doing here in the state, okay? Reaching souls through his servants, preaching the gospel. And there are still areas here in the U.S. that needs gospel preaching, evangelists, and what a wonderful report. And then that song you sang, I don't know how you do it. You know, you don't look, you know, wide, you know, and then... Know your son, you know, and my goodness, that voice is amazing. And praise the Lord for that, and Brother Hollis. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm glad you didn't come to the Dominican Republic. You know, God knew he wanted you to be in Bolivia. And praise God, he's the one who leads, not us. And what an amazing testimony. And I pray you go back and start that church. Keep it going if you're for the cause of Christ. And thank you so much to Brother Nefshill, to you as a church. The way you've been so good and kind to us, and truly a tremendous, may I say, opportunity. In our lifetime, we, as we understand, we are living in the last days. Christ's return is imminent. We don't know when, the day, the hour, the time. But whatever time we have, what an opportunity to work together, to reach souls for Christ. Whether you're a missionary, evangelist, whether you are at home, and that is truthfully, may I say, God's perfect goodness in our lives to allow us to be able to serve him. I want you to open your Bibles with me in Acts chapter 6. I do want to express my gratitude for my wife, who has been, I would say, my encourager, and also her dedication to work with my kids in regard to singing, her dedication to make sure they do the piano practice and music practice and guitar and voice. And a lot of times as I'm studying, preparing messages, I can hear the whip is being, you know, let go on the kids, you know, back. And they, come on, let's get with it, you know. I mean, so... And she does a phenomenal job with them and make sure that they can serve God with their lives, with their talent, as God called me to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like to see the whole family serving Christ together, and then it's good to see. Acts chapter 6, we're going to read in verse 1 and all the way down to verse 7. Would you please stand with me out of respect for the word of God? Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we're going to read all the way down to verse 7. The Bible says this, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and I want you to notice verse 7, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for such of a sweet, wonderful spirit in the church tonight, and similar to what we had this morning, and where we can honestly say there is spiritual liberty to speak your word. And thank you so much for the understanding, the maturity of the Christians, the believers, their dedication. Lord, in a time where the church is being tried, and yet, oh God, they are determined to be faithful. And I ask and pray tonight you will use us in a special way and give us exactly what we need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 to 7, we, as we read this passage of scripture, can see three different groups of people in this passage. Number one is we see the apostles of the Lord Jesus. As you understand in the passage, as you can see, their main job was to teach and preach the word of God unto the Christians, the believers, in the church of Jerusalem. And their main job was to give themselves unto prayer, and so they would be filled with the Holy Ghost of God and be used by God to, if you would, help the believers understand the word of God and at the same time bring the lost to Christ. There's another group. That is, if you would, the church itself. As you can see in the passage, when the decision was made to choose and pick some deacons, it was actually the church who actually chose those who were going to be deacons. It was a church that, if you would, came and brought those deacons before the apostles as they laid their hands on them, and they obviously were set aside to be used in the church. This other group, the third one, is, if you would, you can tell, are the deacons. But in all these three different groups tonight, I want you to see these were people actually who gave their lives to God, to Christ, for one reason, and that is for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as I consider people in the Bible whose lives were used by God to further the gospel or the cause of Christ or the work of God, however you want to say it, it's obviously clearly tonight one of those men is actually Stephen. There's a lot many more you can speak about. But in the text we can see in Acts 6:3, he, Stephen, was chosen to be a deacon in the church of Jerusalem. In Acts 6:4, his acceptance, if he were to be a deacon, would allow the apostles to give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, which was vital for the spiritual growth of the church, and at the same time, which was vital for the preaching of the gospel so the lost can, if you would, hear the message and be saved. In Acts 6:6, he did accept the position. In Acts 6:7, the outcome of him accepting that position to be a deacon, as the Bible laid that outline out, it enabled the word of God to increase in that region of Jerusalem. The word increase, literally speaking, meaning that the word of God was able to spread further in new area, new heart, new mind, new spirit, new soul. As our brother testified tonight, if you would, the people that had false teaching religion that they were hanging on to, who did not know, if you would, the true way to heaven, they were able to give up, if you would, those false, if you would, ways and come and hang on to this new teaching about Christ Jesus. And this took place because of, if you would, one man who decided he wanted to give his life to further the message of the Lord Jesus. And he says the number of the disciples were, if you would, multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And again, multiplication has to do, understand there's a difference between addition and also multiplication. What he's saying is this, it sounds like to me, the church of Jerusalem doubled, if you would, in attendance, and then triple and quadruple. Because if you would have men in the church that understand their lives, if you was, may I say, call upon to lay down at the altar for the cause of Christ, and they were willing to do it. Now the church is not simply being added upon, but now it's being multiplied. And the Bible says even the priests of the synagogues were becoming believers in Christ Jesus. Now understand, these were the religious leaders at one time who were opposing the name of Christ, who did not want the blood of this man to, if you would, may I say, fill Jerusalem. because of those men giving their lives to become deacons in the church. Now, not only is, if you would, the normal, regular, may I say, people in Jerusalem are getting saved, even those who were opposing came to their conclusion. As our brother testified tonight, truly what they're preaching is the truth, and accepted it. All because Stephen was one of those whose life was laid down at the altar for the cause of Christ. Another one will be the believers in the church of Jerusalem, as we just read. But I want to read in a different passage in Acts chapter 4 and see, it was not just, if you would, those men who gave their lives to be deacons, who, if you would, whom God used to further the cause of Christ, but it was also the believers in the church. Acts chapter 4 and verse, if you would, 32. When I said the believers in the church, you're talking about the laymen. They, if you would, those were those who sat in the pews. Those were those who did not have, necessarily speaking, a specific, may I say, responsibility of a position they hold in the church. And yet, look what happened. Acts 4, 32. The Bible says this. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. In other words, what he's saying is this, when the grace of God came down upon the church of Jerusalem, the apostles were preaching, if you would, and then God's grace was walking, moving in their heart, of the Christians and to the, of the believers, the spirit of selfishness was gone. The spirit of covetousness among them to just, may I say, hang gone to their materialistic goods and then to, may I say, haul it on themselves. That was gone to the point that all Christians in that church had everything in common. In other words, they had the spirit of the love of God inside of them when they wanted to share what they had with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Even to the point, the Bible says, some of them would even go home and sold what they had and bring the money and laid it at the apostles' feet and then step back and tell them, you got full, if you would, liberty. So use it, if you would, for the cause of Christ, wherever you see this fit. And then as a result, as you can see, the grace of God move, if you would, in that region. Again, there was a revival, if you would, taking place. Lives were being changed, all because those Christians were willing to lay, listen to this statement, their possessions of goods at the altar for God to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 36, this is a familiar passage. If you've been saved and born again, speaking about the love of God again, it's amazing about Mr. Hollis' testimony tonight. It's almost the Holy Spirit knew the message. Not almost, he did know the message. I didn't call him to tell him to say what he said. But in 1 John 3:16, this is what the scripture says. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this was good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of, if you would, God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What he's saying is this, at Jerusalem, when the grace of God, if you would, came upon the church, among the Christians, they begin to grow. And as those Christians who had the grace of God moving in their lives, look at their brothers and sisters in Christ and saw their needs. They need a pair of shoes. They need a pair of coat. They need some food. They need whatever it was. The grace of God caused them to become, may I say, filled with the love of God to the point that that love can be seen. It can be touched. It can, literally speaking, be manifested among them to the point where the unsaved can see there was the love of God among those people. Another in the scripture that I will say, whose life God truly used to further the cause of Christ, no doubt, is the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, who gave his life to take the message of the gospel, as a missionary, as a church planter, regardless of where Christ, if you will, took him. We all know the story. I will read it quickly in Acts chapter 9, verse 3. The scripture says this, and as he journeyed, this is Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. But as you get in other passages, this is when Paul says, if you were to King Agrippa, and then in a different passage, he says, King, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. What he's saying is that since that day, he laid his life down to be a missionary, a church planter, a gospel preacher. No matter what he was, no matter what he was doing, he was preaching the gospel, allowing God to use his life for the furtherance of the gospel. In Acts chapter 18, in verse 8, I want to read that, if you would, passage also. This is when Paul went to Corinth, as he got there with the message of the gospel. And again, there was major opposition, but Christ himself showed up, began to speak to him. Acts 18:6, this is what he said unto him. Acts 18:8, let's see verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Why? Because I have much people in this city. This is a man who laid his life down in a dangerous place, as our dear brother can testify. If you would, yes, the Spirit of God is in us. There's a fire in our soul. We cannot help but, if you would, to preach, as our dear, if you would, evangelist fellow preach, testify tonight. He there in the area of Ohio, even though he was, if you would, dangerous and tense, but yet there's something in our soul that literally speaking, it almost pushes us to lay down our lives for the cause, if you would, of Christ. And so therefore, the message of the gospel can go forth, and the cause of Christ, may I say, can grow in a greater way than it has ever been before. So Saul, the apostle, Paul, was another who laid his life down for the cause of the gospel. Another is the evangelist, Apollos. In the scripture, Apollos went, if you were to meet some other Christians and believers, and his knowledge was limited on how much he knew about the Lord Jesus. And then some, if you would, other Christians took him to the side and helped him to grow, if you were to develop his skill in understanding. And the Bible says, and after he grew in understanding and broadened his understanding about, if you would, the name of Jesus, and the Bible says he was much helpful to the saints of the church. He helped them much. In other words, his life was used for the cause of Christ. God wants to use my life tonight for the furtherance of the gospel. And he wants to use your life tonight for the furtherance of his kingdom. I don't know if you know it or not, but I think the scripture makes it clear. As it is appointed unto men once to die. In other words, we have an appointment with death. I will not finish it if you would the text. But I think you understand the fact that we're not here to stay forever. I think you understand that we all, if you're just passing. I think you understand that our lives is literally speaking temporary here on the earth. And then God has given us 40, 50, or 100, however many years we're going to use to live here on this earth. Listen now to me. He gave us, if you would, this little bit amount of time so that when we may decide what we're going to do with our lives. Are we going to lay our lives, if you would, on the altar of Christ so we can use it, if you would, for his glory and honor? Are we going to use our lives to further the furtherance of the gospel? Or will we waste our lives? These three ways I believe God desired to use your life and mine to further his gospel, his kingdom. Number one, it is by selecting our services in the local church. Really simple. It's not complicated. Really simple. You, who is a Christian and a believer, it may be possible that God will come to you someday and says, hey, I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. For what reason? For the furtherance of the kingdom of God. It may be possible that someday God will come to you and says, hey, I want you to be a deacon in the church. I want you to be a treasurer. I want you to be a bus driver. I want you to be a superintendent. I want you to be something. But the whole reason, understand, when we lay down the foundation and the introduction is this, the pastor, and if you would, and the missionaries, if you would, and the men of God in the church, they need to pray. They need to be able to spend time to study. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, they want to be able to come before you with fresh bread, manna from heaven, to be able to teach you and preach to you so that way you can feel like, man, I feel like I got something in my soul tonight. And the only way that can be is this. The believers in the church must be willing to lay down their lives at the altar for Christ. And that is, if he come and ask you, would you be the janitor for the cause of Christ? Would you be willing to do it? I remember my, if you would, first time at Bible college. I was, if you would, not yet spiritual. I was as carnal as can be. I wish I could say to you, I've always been this way, but that's not true. If you saw me when I first began, you would have never thought that I would be what I am tonight. In fact, I got to Bible college, and this fella, he was a bus captain. He had this idea of trying to tell me to go out soul winning with him. He asked me several times. I kind of, you know, looking at him and went to my dorm floor. I ignored it. I was tired. I was carnal, as can be. Get away from me. But he obviously can see this is not busy, as, you know, may I say, pushing button, you know, to get me moving. And he said, if you go with me, I'll buy you a burrito in Chicago. I said, say that again. He said, I'll buy you a burrito. Say it one more time. I'll buy you a burrito. I said, all right, then amen. I'm going with you. I'm going. And I went. And, you know, God used that. Then the next thing I know, they asked me, hey, would you be a Sunday school teacher? And the next thing I know, then, hey, would you be willing to be a bus driver? Would you go get your CDL license? And I said, yeah. Then the next thing I know, I was a Sunday school superintendent with 6 or 8 different Sunday school classes underneath my supervision. And God began to use that to show me, Biz, you are doing this so that way you can further my kingdom. And I began to grow. So it's possible in the church that God will come to you, you who never thought you would ever do anything in the church. And God will say, would you please be willing to do this in the church? Yeah. I'm thinking of another story when I first got to the church of St. Mike. If you ever started a church, you would know what I'm talking about, Mr. Hollis and others who started the church. I started the church with St. Mark. I was doing everything. I was watching Brother Nephew this morning. He jumped from the choir to his position, and then he's about to come behind the pulpit, and my heart, I chuckled because I remember I did everything myself. I drove the bus. I set up the church. I did the baptism. I taught the Sunday school class. I did everything to the point I felt like I was dying. And then, you know, it dawned on me one day, look, I'm one man. I can do it all by myself. And that's when I really began to understand. That's what God is talking about in the local church. I needed help. I went to my young man and I said, guys, I need bus drivers. Would you please come to at least 1 hour class after the morning service? Let me teach you how to drive a bus. Now, in Haiti, if you want to teach these guys to drive a bus, you don't do it on the main street. There's motorcycles, donkeys, chicken, cows, everything, people. And then one man, you know, one street, everybody. So there's really no space. So I'm thinking, well, where do I go? And I took them to a soccer field. And I took a bunch of sticks. I drew my own driving road. And I've only given them the theory. Now, guys, let me teach you how to drive a bus. You need to keep the bus straight in the middle of these stakes. If you run over the stakes, you're killing people. So you cannot go on the street, all right? Keep the bus in the middle. And then so, and they did. You know, we went forward, and then they all did a good job. Junior, Rich, all of them. They did a tremendous job keeping the bus straight. Now, it was time for them to learn to take a left and a right. So I had to draw my own, you know, diagram of, you know, a full intersection with sticks. And we did it. But the only downfall was these guys could not figure out how to keep the back of the bus straight, going backward. And Richard killed at least 2,000 people, I would say. I mean, you know, the back of the bus is where I'm thinking, good night, man. You know, I told you, man, when you back enough and you side with me, keep that margin the same way. Can't you do that? He said, Pastor, he says, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I said, man, you can't. Let's do it, man. And my goodness, and the day came, they were able to back up without killing people. Sticks, right? You know? And then they were able to go forward, take a left, and take a right. And I remember taking them to the license place and get them their CDL license. And they became better drivers than I. They were picking people up everywhere in St. Mark. Now I didn't have to do that. And because of it, the church grew. And I remember going to Junior and I said, hey, would you be a Sunday school teacher? I remember going to Fred Marlin Gov and I said, hey, would you please take over the church finances for me? And then listen, I said, when they come to you, if the money's not in the budget, tell them it's not in the budget. I said, you the mean guy, I'm the sweet guy. When you chew their hide off, I said, they will come to me, I'm going to try to be kind, but when they come to you, just let them have it, there's no money. All right, so, you know, and things were working really well. And the church was growing. Because the believers understand their lives also matter to the cause of Christ. It's not just my life, it's your life. You who's on the pew. You who is a layman, your life matter. If the church will grow, if it will multiply, your life matters. You must be willing to lay it at the altar for Christ if you were to use it. Secondly, it is by laying our earthly possessions down for the cause of Christ. I don't know if you know that or not. I think it's Job who says, naked came I in this world, and naked, you will live out. You won't leave naked. We'll give you a pair of suits on, you know, and then, you know, so you can be buried in. But the idea he's saying is this. You brought nothing into this world. When you die, guess what? You're going to leave all of it behind. And so the idea is this, while you and I, we have, if you would, this opportunity, we have this time we are living, it is only makes sense that we will set a great portion of what we have for the cause of the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I wish I could tell you I've always been a spiritual man. I'm sorry for disappointing you. I was not. This thing about tithing and giving offering to the church, that was a big problem to me. As a Haitian, we like to give. We don't like to give. You know, if you're giving me, come on, put it on. You know, if you ask them to give you, I don't have a way to give. So I went to Bible college. Number one, in my freshman year, I'm struggling trying to pay my school bill. Going to work after school. I got paid, and you know, they're not giving me enough hours to be able to make enough money to pay my school bill. So I got paid $150, and then my school bill is $125 a week. And that means I have really no money left for me to do anything because I gotta give $10 to this guy that I ride to work with. Then I gotta wash my clothes, I gotta buy books, I was beta, just put it that way. Then I had a roommate who did not know how to mind his business. You know, if you got, I'm a Haitian, I don't know any better, so I'm in my room, and then I'm looking at my paycheck in disgust because it's not enough. And this guy's name was Dan Pankratz. He says, Biz, I said, what? Did you tithe on that? I said, tithe on what? He says, on your paycheck. I said, mind your business, man. That's exactly what I told him, mind your business. And he says, well, you know, this is one of those junior in college thinking that the freshman needs help. You know, he's pushing the, you know, pushing the thing, you know. He says, well, basically, you know, if you understand the Bible, when you get paid, 10% is actually belong to the Lord. I said, Dan, shut up. Leave me alone. Because I can't even pay my school bill. What are you talking about tithing? Leave me alone. And then he left it. The next day, I went to class. This guy, he was teaching on evangelism, how to win the lost. The first thing came out of his mouth, he says, some of you guys say you're going to be pastors, which means you're going to supposedly leave off the tithe of your people. And you're in college, you're not tithing yet, you're going to starve to death. I'm thinking, man, just teach evangelism. Shut up. leave the thing alone. But, you know, the Holy Spirit put my heart. I took a deep breath, and the next time I got paid, I gave the 10%. I felt decent about myself. And then that same teacher, the next week came back, says, well, I hate to say it, but I forgot to say last week, when you give a tithe, you don't give it off the net. You give it off the gross. So I went to my room scratching my head thinking, what is a gross? I said, Dan, what's a gross? Oh, he said, yeah, I'll be glad to show you, biz. Let me see your paycheck. Sub paycheck. And I showed it. He said, you see up here? You got paid $225, and they take federal tax and Social Security and all these different things, and you came home with $150. This is the net. This is the gross. You tithe off here, not down here. And I said, but I only bring in $150. What are you talking about? It was an argument. And I remember that went on for a while. Until I gave in, it almost felt the same way and when I got saved, when you give in to the Lord. God was preparing me financially to further his kingdom. And I had no idea back then. Let's move forward. As a missionary, I got to Haiti. I believe this thing about tithing and offering so much, it becomes my life. And those guys growing up under my leadership in the Church of St. Mark, they caught on to tithing and offering. They don't make much. And they begin to give tithe and offering. And it's amazing how God not only began to bless them, but further the kingdom of Christ among our people, if you would, in Haiti. Faith promise giving, that was a foreign language to me. Now I'm a missionary. I'm on deputation. And I was not given to mission. Imagine that, when a missionary who doesn't believe in mission, that's a bad thing. Because if everybody do what I really was doing, I'd be in trouble. And I was in the mission conference, and they were preaching on faith promise. And this guy from Mexico, his name is Kevin Wayne, he was saying, I went to a church on deputation, and the pastor called me after the church. He says, how much are you giving to mission? And he says, well, sir, I'm the missionary trying to get money for mission. I don't give any to mission. I take for mission. And the pastor says, I would not support you because you don't believe in mission. And he said he was offended, but as he walked away, he was thinking about it. It makes perfect sense. Why would you be a missionary and not be given to mission? And I got convicted. And I began to give to mission. Faith, promise given. So I'm here in the state every month. Every month. My faith promise given is sent to our church in the Dominican Republic. Our tithe, our offerings, every month goes into the Dominican Republic. Because we're not supposed to take, we're also supposed to give. I'm thinking of the story of a lady where the nephew met this pastor. His name is Klima. He have half a hand. If you ever seen this guy driving a motorcycle, it's funny. his hand is cut off completely, one of them. So when he's driving the motorcycle, he has to bend over like this. So he's coming down the street looking at you like this. He's got one hand. And but he does a good job driving the motorcycle. I don't know how he does it. But this guy's wife was sick. I think she had diabetes. She was diabetic. So she was dying. So she needed help. We have a guest house. And so my wife wanted to at least make her, would you say, less days on earth, be a little bit more enjoying, or if you would, may I say, a blessing. So she came and lived in the guest house. And the whole time, we fed her three times a day. My wife was helping her with natural treatment, doing everything she can just to alleviate her pain. And I remember one day, as I went by Klima's house, this went on for at least 2 or 3 months. As I went by Klima's house to pick up his kids so they can come spend time with their mom, several neighbors in his neighborhood came out and they looked at me. They said, El Pastor, he's the pastor. And they pointed at me, they says, El Amor del Dios. This is the guy who really have the love of God. They can see that love. They can touch that love. They can understand that love. And so because of it, that allowed those people in that area to be more receptive to the gospel. The kingdom of God, are you understanding me, is actually growing. And then number three, quickly, so I can be done, it is by surrender our lives to become full-time Christian service. In Isaiah's case, brother's case, it is, being an evangelist. In my case, it is being a missionary. In Brother Neptune's case, it is being a pastor. In Brother Nichols' case, it is being the assistant pastor. And our dear brother who led the singing. But it is when we understand that our lives, literally speaking, matters to the cause of Christ, and we willingly laying it down at the altar, if you're of Christ, for one reason, for the furtherance of the gospel. Listen to me. And so because we're willing to lay it down, what happened? More people are getting saved. More lives are being changed. Are you understanding? There's, if you would, more decisions are being made. If you would, the gospel is going further. If you wouldn't, we're able to spread our wings, if you would, in a further way. What I'm saying is this, if Christ come to you and ask you to be a missionary, a pastor, if you would, or even an evangelist, understand the reason and the purpose is actually he's looking at his kingdom. And your life and my life is able to further that. Quickly, I'm thinking when I came to the U.S., I was a 14-year-old boy. And my mom, being a Haitian, took me to my private room as a Haitian. This doesn't happen. We have a two-room house where I came from as a kid. There's about 15 people in it. It's common. Some sleep under the table, under the bed, and they leave. This is everywhere. And it's common. If you ever come visit the mission field, like Brother Holly says, and in a little house, you'd be shocked how many people come out of it. You wonder, how did they all fit? So she took me to my private room and showed me, Biz, now you are in America. Your life is changed forever. Now you have your own private room, your own bed. Nobody sleep with you. She opened the closet. You got bunches of clothes. She took me to my kitchen and showed me the fridge. She opened it, all kind of food. Now we have our own car. I mean, when she told me, now you can be a doctor, an engineer, and she tried to put everything socially speaking before me that I can become. But deep in my heart, I knew what God wanted me to do. Before I left Haiti, I knew God wanted me to go back home, preach, teach, love my people, and nothing can deviate me from that. Not the offer of money, the goodness of life. It could not deviate me from that. And so when I became a missionary, I was on deputation going to Haiti. They did not want me to go to Haiti, my relatives, my mom and my dad, because in the whole family, I'm the only one going back. And they all look at me like I'm crazy. Have you lost something? And I said, no, this is what Christ wanted me to do. I never told you that because if I did, I know you would not bring me to the U.S. She would slap sense in my head. My mama will do that. What did you say, boy? I think God wants me to go back to Haiti.
Wake up, little fella. I am not going to risk my life to bring you to America, and you're going to throw it away. Wake up. You're not going.
She would have slapped sense into me. So I could never tell her that I'm going back to Haiti. So as a young boy, I kept that in my heart. But deep in me, I know what God wanted me to do. And so my conclusion is really simple. So God want to use my life and your life to further, if you would, the kingdom of Christ. And he does it in those three different simple ways. Either, number one, you've been selected to stay here in the local church. But as you stay in the church, understand you staying in the church is not for you to get lazy. Are you listening? You stand in the church is not so simple you can come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and be fed and go home and then nothing else. What I'm saying is this, you stand in the church, if you want, understanding is the fact that there is a job for you to do in the local church for Christ. So he's working your father here at home. And then secondly, it is so that way you can experience the grace of God. Now let me say something about this. When God's grace moves in your heart, nobody can hold you back from giving. I'm talking about financially. None. Look, I was a graduate from Bible college. I had like, I think 12 or 15. I don't remember how much money I had. And 401k, that was retirement money. I had saved the whole time I was in Bible college. So when I was going to Haiti, I took that money and shipped buses to Haiti. And so when I came back after the financial crisis, I was talking to a pastor in Ohio. I said, you know what? I did something in the past. Sometimes I'm wondering if I was crazy. I cashed my money from 401k and I sent buses to Haiti to bring people to church, to plant churches. He says, Biz, that was a wise move. Because he gave me, are you listening? He gave me different stories of people he worked with during the financial crisis who lost their retirement, all of it. All of it. He said one guy had $470,000. He only had $5,000 left. He lost all of it. Look. When the grace of God moves in your heart, you want to give so bad. Nobody has to convince you to give. You don't feel like anymore, like I did with Dan Pankratz, the pastor is getting in your business. You don't feel that way anymore. You don't feel like anymore people are pushing you to get your money. It's clear in your heart and your mind. It's not my money. It's not your money. It's Christ. He gave it to us so we can use it for his kingdom. Now there is a joy in giving. There is a joy in seeing what God is doing with what we give. And then finally, it is by surrendering our lives. Whatever it is, God wants you to be a missionary. Oh, my friend, don't run from it. A pastor. He wants you to be, perhaps, an evangelist. But whatever it is God called you to do, understand, this is exactly how you will help further the kingdom of Christ. My dear friend, Mr. Hollis, came to the Dominican Republic, and he was interested to come to the Dominican Republic to work with me a while. In fact, we've been talking about it. And it didn't work out. Back then, I'm thinking, well, oh well, praise the Lord. I just let it go. As I sit here and listen to his testimony, it would have been a mistake for him to come to the Dominican Republic. Because God knew what he wanted him to be, to further the kingdom. It's not my kingdom. It's his kingdom. If we all can get in that mindset, whatever it is Christ wants you to do, that's your part in helping the kingdom. If it's here at home, if it's abroad, no matter where it is, only one invitation. Lord, use my life. Tonight, will you be willing to let God use your life to further his kingdom? And giving, as a faith promise giving, maybe you're not involved. Maybe you don't even know how to do it. Maybe this will be your first time ever do this thing. But if this is where God wants you to be involved, would you lay your life down? Maybe it's being a missionary. If this is where God wants you to be involved, would you go? Maybe it's being a pastor at home. If this is where he wants you to be involved, would you do it? Maybe it's giving you service to the local church. I'm watching my good friend in the back, Mr. Helmick. He and his precious wife. This is God using them here to further the kingdom. He's as important here as I am on the mission field. Your giving is as important as me on the front line. No matter what it is, we're all doing the same thing. We're furthering the kingdom. Would you please bow your heads and close your eyes, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for the freedom to speak, the sweet, wonderful spirit of your people. We all desire for our lives to be used. We don't want our lives to be wasted. And as I think of the story in the Bible of this man whom you bless, who has so much goods, you bless his harvest so much. He had to go and build a bigger barn to put his crops. He never thought of the fact that maybe you had a reason for giving him the extra. And you call him a fool because he wasted it. I ask and pray tonight you will help us to understand we have one life. Will help us not to waste it. Spend it on ourselves, doing selfish things, doing as we want, as we desire. But help us to understand tonight we need to lay our lives down at your altar for you to use it for the kingdom's sake. So when you come back, you establish your kingdom here in this earth. We will rejoice with you because we know we were involved in helping, winning the lost, preaching the gospel, seeing people saved that are living with us now in the kingdom. And tonight, help us to understand that.